The opinions expressed on the Sports Bunch are individual and not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening and enjoy. Hello and welcome to our first winter Spirit Live episode. And I'm joined with
Muhammad Ali. Yes, yes.
Oh, I didn't introduce myself. And Ethan.
And Ethan. Sorry, guys. This is the winter edition. Yeah. First time in about a couple of months
that
we've recorded for Spirit Live.
Oh, since December. Wow.
Since December.
3 months.
Well, welcome back to the second season of our podcast, The Sports Bunch.
Yes. Ba-dum.
Ba-dum, ba-dum. Well, we welcome you guys, and we'll be talking about the biggest hindsight trades. Sort of looking at it in a GM point of view and breaking down what we think, what we think now and why it was a good trade then, maybe, and why it's a terrible trade now.
Yeah, and free agent signs, you know. And
free agent signs.
Because it's easy to look back and criticize, but at the time, we all might thought these were good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would like to start things off, if that's okay.
There you go.
I'll start off with some pucks, some hockey, the National Hockey League. Start off with a fan favorite in Ilya Bryzgolov. He was a stunning Russian goalie for the league, played with the Phillies, and some turns with the Coyotes. And, you know, he had some excellent seasons he did. He played well with Phoenix. He put up a season where he finished 6th and 2nd in Vezina Trophy voting. So they're like, wow, this is an all-star goalie, one of the best in the league, top 10.
Mm-hmm.
And Philip was like, we need this number one. So he signed to a 9-year, 5.666667. AAV contract, which is big money.
That's big money. Well, that's kind of insane that's big money in hockey.
Well, back then. Now,
when was this?
This was like 2014, 2012, around that time.
What's the total AAV of this? Forgive my math. Was that like, that's not 100. That's like 95.
Let's see. Contract. Yeah, 51 million. 51 mil. Back in 2011. So, like, if we were to write this contract today, I would say this would be like a 10-year, $100 million deal.
Yeah, about 100 mil, right?
Which is, like, exuberant money. Only, like, two goalies, I think, have that. So they gave out this contract thinking he would be the best goalie in the league for their future. But that is not what happened.
Not at all.
He fell off quite badly, only playing two seasons of that 9-year deal. And he was bought out and just wanted to play a very poor career for the rest of his career. But that's not what only makes it bad, okay? It gets worse. Because at that time, Philadelphia had one of the brightest blooming goalies in the league in Sergei Bobrovsky. You know Sergei Bobrovsky.
I know Sergei Bobrovsky.
He led the Panthers to a cup, two cups actually.
Back to back. No.
Well, actually, yeah, back to back.
Was it back to back?
Yeah, back to back.
Back to back like he's Jordan.
I guess so. Yeah. And he also led Columbus to some strong playoff runs as well.
Yes.
And to make it even worse, to fit Ilya Bryzgolov's contract, they had to ship off Mike Richards and Jeff Carter, who went on to win the Stanley Cup a year later with the LA Kings. So at the time, it looked like they were getting a young blossoming goalie who had locked up for the future, but it just did not pan out that way at all.
And that was a rough one. I mean, I'm a pain meter. Where do you...
pain meter, I would say probably like a 9, honestly. Like, he truly... one of the best, probably the best Russian goalie ever.
Mm-hmm.
And he traded two guys, went on to win the cup. And he signed to an expensive deal, which they paid for like a long time due to a buyout. It was just a disaster, and it was just not good.
Did it send them sort of back, like,
I would say
multiple years?
Yeah. Especially with cap situation, having to deal things around. It was not good. Even says, like, he is a charismatic guy and funny, but that is not confidence.
he's a good lad.
He's a good lad. So instead of paying for 9 years, they went on to pay for 14 years due to cap buyout.
Wow.
So,
how about that? Yeah, and we're talking about now, we're going to move over to one of the most infamous NBA trades.
For sure.
The Paul George Kawhi sort of trade to the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
In 2019, the Clippers didn't just trade for Paul George. They traded for the Paul George and the rights to sign Kawhi after that 2019 season. And now, when you're sort of looking at this from the Clippers' point of view, you're seeing, okay, well, Paul George over averaged 28 points, 8 rebounds, and 4 assists. And, you know, that's just a full-blown two-way superstar. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure he got third in MVP and third in DPOY that year.
Yeah.
Absolute dominant. And then to add on top of that, you're guarantee that Kawhi is coming on
exactly.
to you.
You get two franchise guys who
just carried the Raptors to the 2019 chip. So, I mean, that just looked like a no-brainer, and the haul that they sent was
it was a big one.
So, they sent Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Danilo Gallinari, and then 5 first-round picks and 2 pick swaps.
Yeah. Do you want to say what those picks turned into?
Let's say that.
It turned into Trey Mann, which they just traded recently. Jalen Williams.
J-Will. That's J-Will.
11.
No, number 12, that's J-Dub.
Yeah, J-Dub. Who's a rising all-star in the league.
Yes.
And then a couple of picks.
Which
they trade around and moved around. And now there's a pick this year that could have some impact.
I'm pretty sure that's why... it's not the Pacers are tanking for it, right? Or was it? I don't know. Some team is trying to make sure. Oh, it was a Clippers pick. Yeah. It's a Clippers pick. They were really, really bad at the early season, and then now they became good again.
Yeah, and the OKC's gym is trying to get Silver to eliminate
Tank. it's very, very funny. Mm. So, sort of the young upstart in that trade was just like a toss in, and his name was Shai Gilgeous-Alexander because he technically wasn't even a real prize. It was Danilo Gallinari who was. He averaged 19-6-2. No one could really say that Shai was going to be this big of a star, but there were some signs. Like he was a promising rookie that averaged 11-3-3 in the 2019 season. I mean, next season he goes on to average, if you scroll a little bit down, like I think 18 points, like 19.
Yeah, 19.
19, 23, 24, and then he becomes that scoring MVP, 31, 30. 32, 31, which is just like kind of insane.
Yeah, and an NBA champion.
So, I mean, in hindsight, it was a gamble for their future, and it really wasn't any of a window that they got from it because both of those players, it just became a nightmare situation between both of them. Yeah.
I do want to say one thing about that deal. I was looking at the playoff runs they had of Paul George and Kawhi. I think the deal happened in 2019, so got eliminated in the first round 4 times. They did have one strong run in 2021 where they made the conference finals and lost in 6 against the Suns. So I guess they have that.
But I'm sure if you're trading away the eventual MVP of the league, you sort of want a chip with that. Or at least a finals appearance. Mm-hmm.
Especially if how dominant Kawhi and PG were back then.
You would never expect it just to turn out this bad, and that's why it's such a big hindsight trade.
Exactly. Yeah. I think the biggest hindsight deal ever.
Well, I mean, Babe Ruth is up there.
Okay, that's true.
Babe Ruth is up there. We're not going to talk about him because that's a little too obvious. I actually wasn't going to do that.
Okay.
I feel bad if I did the Babe Ruth talk.
And the curse and everything attached to it.
Yes.
Okay, I have another deal. It's a trade. Puck trade involving your Toronto Maple Leafs and the Boston Bruins. So back in 2006, the Leafs were mid, as always. And they had this goaltender who they selected in the first round called Tuukka Rask. Might ring a name. Did he win a Stanley Cup? No, but he came close. He made the finals. And at the time, the Leafs were just a team who were just entering a sort of competitive window with no real starting goalie. The last one they had was like Ed Belfroch was like a decade ago. So they were desperate for a goalie. And at the time, Andrew Raycroft was a promising goaltender. He put up decent numbers with Boston. He had a good year. Nothing spectacular, but a good year. He had a .926 save percentage.
Mm-hmm.
And the Leafs were desperate. So they made a trade, trading away their young prospect in Tuukka Rask to the Boston Bruins. And immediately it just went to garbage. Like Raycroft put up an .894 save percentage. He played 72 games that season. Then he played 20 games next season.
Mm-hmm.
And then he never played for Leafs after that. Jumping from Colorado to Vancouver to Dallas and then to the AHL. While Tuukka Rask wants to have an incredible career with the Boston Bruins, playing with them, I think, for almost 20 years or so like that.
Wow.
Bringing him to multiple playoff appearances and a Stanley Cup final. And is probably like the second best goaltender in Bruins franchise history. But... you know, I'm a guy who says everything happens for a reason. You know, everything happens for a reason. And I think if the Leafs kept Tuukka, you would not have Austin Matthews. You'd not have William Nylander.
Well, yeah, because that raises the floor.
Yeah, exactly.
You lose less games. So.
Exactly.
So the tank offs in the 2015, 2016, 2017 seasons wouldn't have happened.
No.
Well, I mean, even then, what would he have to show for it with that big four?
Nothing.
Thoughts and ifs.
Exactly.
What's a little funny is Anthony Stolarz and Joseph Wall are the best goalies since then. I mean, they're just like a roundabout to the infirmary. They're going one day in, one day out.
That's true. That is true. And Stolarz has fallen off this season. But man, I think we're cursed, bro.
Wonderwall. Should be a song.
It should be a walk-up song.
Walk-up song. Whenever he's in the shootouts.
Yeah. brutal loss last.
Man, we're done with the season. It's already over.
But I'm happy. Tank. Gavin McKenna, bro. 2020.
Hey, no, we do not like that guy. He's a serial assaulter.
He's passionate, as they say.
But it's okay. Okay, we'll move on to this next one. Harden for Simmons.
Ooh, Big Ben.
That never came.
Boom.
James Harden is a different type of hindsight to the OKC trade. Mm-hmm. It's it was like damage control almost, you know, because there was already rumors that he wanted out. That superstar team failed after that conference final. I'm going to be honest. I do think if Kyrie Irving wasn't injured, they win it all.
I agree.
I win it all because that Bucks team did not deserve
it. No. And if KD's foot was not on the line,
he would have beat him.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of ifs, man. I would have loved if Kyrie got a second chip there, but I digress.
He only has one?
He only has one with the 2016.
Wow.
Yeah.
Feels like he has more.
He's been to the finals twice because of Dallas.
Okay, yes.
But yeah. That superstar team was failing, and Harden wanted out. So Brooklyn tried to save the situation. Before that trade season, Harden was averaging 22-8-10 in 44 games. And here's what Brooklyn got back in that trade. They got Ben Simmons, Seth Curry, Andre Drummond, plus picks. But the crucial part is Simmons, you know, because you thought he still had some sort of upside.
Yeah.
And you're sort of gambling on, hey, is that man gonna come back to form? So the trade's win condition was basically it was Simmons, hey, we need you to play basketball at an all-star level, you know, be a playmaker.
Mm-hmm.
And that just never happened. Injuries and performance issues meant Brooklyn's never really got the Simmons that they thought they would get. And with that trade, it made it just look super, super lopsided. Because Philly at least got the star-level engine they wanted next to Embiid. Didn't really happen.
No.
But it's a thought that matters. And then now you see Ben Simmons just getting fished now. He hasn't played since the 24 season.
2024? Oh, my goodness.
2024, 2025 is the last time he touched the court at 28 years old.
28.
For such a regarded prospect, for such a big tout, what if?
Yeah. The next LeBron they were calling
him. They're calling him, hey, LeBron. We got Ben Simmons. We're all right. That will never not be funny. Man, Ben Simmons only played 383 games in his career, averaged 13-7-7, and is just a nothing burger.
I always find it crazy that he has no three-point shot. Like, how are you an NBA player but can't shoot a three? That just blew my mind.
Electrocuted.
I don't know. But that just blew my mind. Like, crazy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at least whenever he was getting drafted, that was a 16th season. That was during the revolution of the threes.
Yeah.
So it hasn't been stuck into place now where it's like, oh, if you don't got a three-point shot and you're a guard or something like that, forget about making the league, you know?
He won Rookie of the Year. I did not know that.
He won Rookie of the Year.
You actually forget about that.
Yeah, I mean, he averaged 15 that year. He had, that was a pretty good year. He had 8 assists, block a game.
He seemed very well-rounded.
He did back then. He was really well-rounded. And, all the way till he got traded to Brooklyn, he was a star.
Mm-hmm.
You could literally argue that he was a star player.
Yes, I can
That he had upside. You know, sort of like Scottie Barnes. At least that's what I think. Like, you know, you could see the upside there.
Yeah.
They just have to attain it. And after that injury in that 21-22 season, it was never really the same player. He was a shadow of himself. He averaged 6 points, then 5, then 6, and then 3, and then now he's out of the league.
Brutal. Tight, yikes.
Do you think he can make a comeback?
No, it's over. It's over.
No, I mean, this is a serious question. He has a physical attributes.
He would have to, like, a season in Australia.
Oh, like,
Europe.
Prove it? Like,
yeah.
Hey, I still got it.
Or, like, G League. I think a team might sign as a G League deal. But it's just looking like a rough...
Two-way.
Yeah, a rough hill to climb for him.
I think he's fine because he got a fat contract
during
that time.
He posts Instagram pics of him in, like, yachts in Australia.
Oh, he's rich.
Like, he seems good, bro. He seems set.
Is that Elijah?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he's got a filthy big pocket. So
I think he signed a max at one point.
He got a rookie max.
So he got
the money. So it's not like he's worrying about money for the rest of his life.
Yeah,
he's fine.
He's not hungry. He's not hungry.
That's all I have. Let's see. Do you have anything?
I have one more. I think we have perfect timing for one more. But I literally just missed on the fly. But I think one that is, it's hindsight. But it kind of worked out for both sides, if you kind of hear me out here. It's the Erik Karlsson trade from Ottawa Senators to San Jose Sharks. And this was a big deal, like a lot of players, a lot of moving parts involved. So Ottawa traded Josh Norris, Rudolph Balsers, Chris Tierney, Dylan DeMello, a second-round pick in 2019, a conditional first-round pick in 2020, a conditional second-round pick in 2021, and a conditional first-round pick in the 2022 draft. A huge deal. For what is, actually, I still see the superstar. A superstar defender in Erik Karlsson. He was the backbone, the culture of the Ottawa Senators. If you were a hockey fan growing up, you have fond memories of this guy and their playoff run against Pittsburgh and all of that. I'll never forget his assist, cross ice to Mike Hoffman. And he scored one of the best goals I've ever seen. But yeah, it was a big and massive deal for what was, like, probably the best defender in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, San Jose was aggressive. They had made some cup pushes in 2016, 2017, dominant playoff runs, but always falling short. And, you know, back then they had a team that was built with Brent Burns, Tomas Hertl, Logan Couture, Timo Meier, Joe Pavelski, Evander Kane, Kevin LeBlanc, Joe Thornton.
Wow.
A lot of talent there. A
whole lot of.
And Erik Karlsson was supposed to be that needle that pushed it. Is that this right saying, needle that pushed it?
You could say the needle that pushed it.
Yeah, something like that.
Needle that pushed it. Needle that finished the job.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
The straw that built the shack, or whatever.
Guess. Yeah.
Yes.
But they only got one good season after that, and immediately fell out. I mean, they played 19 playoff games, which is, I think that's maybe conference finals they made. But after that, San Jose felt their age. Pavelski got older. Thornton got older.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tomas was... He was still on the way, but, like, not there yet. And it was just fell apart immediately after Erik Karlsson's first season. And so, San Jose entered a tank mode. They trade a lot. They trade away a lot of their guys. A lot of their guys retired. And it went from a dominant team to now a falling apart, crippled, and elderly team. So that first-round pick they traded away... Wait. No, Ottawa's first-round pick that they... Wait, this is confusing. Ottawa's first-round pick that they had traded away... went on to become a second overall selection in the 2020 draft.
Who was that?
And that was... Okay, wait, I make sense now. So San Jose's pick, who they traded away, went... So, okay.
It's okay.
Trade talk is confusing.
Take your time.
So San Jose tanked in the 2020 season.
Yes.
And they finished dead last or second to last in the league. And their pick that they traded to Ottawa for Erik Karlsson went on to become the second... overall selection, and Otto used that to draft Tim Stützle, who is now like their franchise cornerstone. And to make it worse, Josh Norris went on to become a 40-goal scorer in Ottawa, and the rest of the guys became decent players who went on to Boston with them. And third overall selection, sorry. And then San Jose Sharks sat in purgatory. They were mid for a long time. Their draft picks were wasted away in Ottawa.
Now the Canadians are saving them.
Yes.
Thank you, Macklin.
But hey, it all led to Macklin, Celebrini, and Will
Smith.
Man,
this is some good years, man.
Yeah, he's decent.
Solid years. I mean, more goals, like 38. That was a pretty good year.
Yeah. Still doing decent this season.
Yeah, he's on.
Holy crap, he went crazy at the Olympics.
Did he?
On Germany, too.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, a deal that looked like it would set San Jose on a very competitive window, leading them to deep runs. Only
plus minus,
that doesn't matter.
No?
Only led to one dominant playoff run and a years of tanking until they traded away Karlsson, I think, 2 years ago. So, cost them a lot of cap, and he was injury-prone for a lot of that playing. It's just, like, Oh my gosh, he only played one full season with them.
Wow.
Only played 50 games.
As soon as he leaves, he's healthy too.
Yeah. So I guess maybe it's time that's a fired or conditioning guy or something. Something's going on there.
Hey, speak about fire the conditioning guy. What happened with the Leafs, man?
The Leafs?
They fired their conditioning guy.
They
did? Well, they fired their fired the health department. And then now Matthews is injured.
Oh, he is? That's news to me.
No, seriously, check. They had to let go some people in the health department. And after that, their team is all injured now.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least play CEO, injured card, bad look, organization. Yeah, so they fire a lot of guys.
So they do like health department or something like that. Yeah.
Health department.
I don't hate that, but.
Oh, gosh. Department. See, it's pressure typing on the keyboard when you're recording because you're like, you got to do this quick, you know? Eliminate. Oh, yes. Oh, they got rid of the job that meant to keep players healthy.
Yes.
I think they're trying to save money there.
They're trying to penny pinch.
Yeah.
MLSC penny pitching, and then now you're paying for it with your star looking like an old man out there.
Yeah.
He can't move anymore.
The sports science
performance. I mean, before.
I don't
healthy.
Know. Yeah, I
you
don't
could
know.
Argue that it maybe has an effect, like the goalies. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why you would. I feel like if I was running a sports team, I'd hire as many people.
Exactly,
to help
right?
my athletes. Like, I don't care how much it costs. Bring these guys.
Because these are your money makers.
Exactly.
Why don't you want to keep them healthy?
Exactly. Or it just happens like another level of performance or something. Mm-hmm. But I think we got to wrap up. We're at the 20-minute mark. I forget if it's 25 or 20.
25.
I think so.
I want to talk about something about that, though.
Yeah.
There's a common thing in gaming where, like, people, they started to hire sports psychologists to, like, tap into more of the mental side of it because people have, like, performance anxiety. And I feel like that's also exactly what made teams so, so good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, being able to understand it's not only a physical, but also a mental game.
I'm going to show you something.
What?
To prove exactly
what
you're saying.
Nathan McKinnon.
Look at Nathan McKinnon's stats here, right? And tell me, guess which season he hired a sports psychologist?
Well, it must have been the 2017-2018 season.
Exactly.
Right?
So Nathan McKinnon was
140?
Yeah. He's goated. So he was always a mid player, right? And he was like, something's off. I'm supposed to be talented. So that offseason, he hired a nutritionist, a psychologist, like a trainer. He's like, I'm going to lock in and really focus here.
Yeah.
And look, it paid off, man. So
exactly.
He credits a lot of his... like talent and skill to like sports psychologists and how it really helped hone his mind and everything. And I think a lot of athletes need it.
The game is 40% mind, 60%
exactly.
body.
Yeah.
I made that up.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a good quote. Good
Thank
quote.
Thank you. 40% mind, 60% body.
Yes.
I mean, you can look at it. Mm. Even you look back at Ben Simmons, he had that body.
I think he needs a sports psychologist.
That night man needs a sports psychologist, a life psychologist,
and
a dietitian, a trainer,
an accountant.
He needs everything because, dude, how are you so physically talented? I mean, and there were already like there were signs of it where he was skipping class and he was missing school, and he's sort of like I'm the star attitude.
Yeah,
back at I don't even know where is he at Duke.
So I don't think so. I think he was playing in Australia. No?
I'm pretty sure he was with Duke.
But another psychologist thing is Carlos Sainz. He mentioned how, like, you know, when you're at lower body weight, your heart beats slower and then your mind beats slower, something like that. And you can reduce the stress.
LSU.
And everything. So.
LSU, sorry. He attended LSU, not Duke.
Duke?
And people are saying, like, he was skipping classes. He was missing it. And, I mean, I feel like that's also, like, you could tell that, like, sort of, he didn't really... His mind wasn't in it. He was thinking about the moolah, the money, you know, the bad biddies.
Yes. I mean, if I was talented, I would skip class too. Like, I'm not doing sports chemical science. But yeah.
Bad student.
That's all we got.
We're going to wrap it up here. Thanks for listening to our first episode of the second season of
The Sports
Bunch. Wow. Thank you guys.
Clap, clap.